So we should aim to go to a place where we don't want to come back. Normally in the world, you go to someone's house, and whether you like or not, they say, you go. Once you know, everything is over. But Krishna says, you come to me and live with me. I will not send you back.
How nice is it?
Then, in 15.6, again the Lord says, one who reaches my abode never returns to this material world. How many times the Lord is saying, if you come to me, I will take care of you. If you come, go to my planet, you will never return back. You will not come back to the material world. You know, all that he's saying. But we don't want to go back, isn't it? That's the problem. Right? The Lord is giving invitation. But we are saying, no, thank you. We don't want to go back. Huh? We don't want to go. Alright. Now, let us see in the purport. Srila Prabhupada is saying that you will not come back to the material world, for you will reach Mastam, my abode. Right? So I was thinking, the very first verse in 8.15, where the Lord says, attaining me, great souls never return to the temporary world, which is full of miseries. Now, for most of us, we don't think that this temporary place, this world is a temporary place, and it is full of miseries, isn't it? We think it's normal. Nothing wrong. I thought we will discuss these two aspects, you know, about miseries and temporary nature of this material world. And let us try to discuss, you know, so that we understand better. And then we will know, yes, we have to go back to Krishna, isn't it? If you don't know what the problems are existing, then we are in illusion. We don't know. So we should know what the problem is. And we should find out that, we should know, right, that it is a temporary place. And then we will make an effort to listen to what Krishna says. And then we will move back. Go to the place where we came from. That's what Krishna is saying. You have come from a place. So you have to return back. Now we have all come back from our home, house. So we will, after the program, we will go back. So in the same place, we have all come from Krishna's abode. But we don't want to go back. So this is our problem. We will see what it is. Now, everyone in this world is struggling with some issues or some problems. One problem or another. No one says that they are free. And to add to top of that, the so-called leaders, they are also complicating. They are creating more problems than which is existing. About a decade back, about 10 years back, England had started teaching in the academic institutions, you know, in the colleges and schools, stating that, yes, one of the main reasons, right, we are facing in this current dynamic is the environmental problem. The weather is constantly changing. Either it goes very high temperature, very cold, you know, it's not stable. It's not like before. It's a very, very major problem. And unfortunately, this weather we cannot control. The meteorological department of Victoria can give you some indication that it is going to rain or not. Isn't it? But they cannot control what is going on. So what these universities, academic institutions in London, they are teaching kids. They are saying, don't worry, this is an eternal problem, this going on problem. This is due to the global warming. The concept of global warming is put into the children. Now what is global warming? Global warming means actually it is created by the machine itself. Right? It is created by all the electronic equipments. like example, the cold storage fridge. What happens? It emits lot of, when it runs, no, it is very nice when we take a, you know, cold thing and take it. But what is happening is action reaction. It is emitting at the back lot of gases. And one of the most surplus gases it's producing is carbon dioxide and CFC and all that. They are a very big pollutant to this material world. Right? Maybe 100 years back, it was not, fridge was not very common. You know? Fridge is, you know, not many people used, isn't it? Fridge and all that. I don't think, because the Vedic system says that when you cook something, after 3 hours, you know, you don't use the food. So we cook in the morning, afternoon, evening, like that. But with this present scenario, we put a fridge, you know, and we have to put expiry date. What is, you know, this is from Monday evening, this is from Tuesday afternoon. An expiry date, because we don't know what is there. So fridge has become a very, very important business in the modern world. And it is also said that when a particular fruit, when a fruit, or you know, you guys, you know, think about it. When a particular fruit or a vegetable is coming from a tree, once it is plucked, and next time is from the cold storage, it goes into your cooking, which means that it goes through a chain of cold storages. Right? From it is plucked, it is put into the cold storage. Then, what happens when you go to a market, you know, South Melbourne market or Victoria market or Clayton market, they will nicely shine it and put it capsicum. You look at it very nice. But anyone of you, you know, you will know that. When you touch it, it is cold, right? Have you any time seen a vegetable which is not cold? Have you seen it? I have not seen myself. If you have seen that, please tell me, unless it's organic and different categories, you know. I'm talking about the general category. Yeah? It is cold because it comes from the cold storage. And it is estimated that a vegetable, right, it's the statistics, that 45 days it is in the cold storage before it goes into your stomach. Isn't it very nice? 45 days cold storage. It goes from there. And then not only that, the movement, there is a big cold storage, you know, equipments to store and to take away from one place to another place. Everything cold storage. And then when it comes, only, you know, in the morning time or the afternoon times, you know, the vegetable will be displayed. And then again it goes in the cold storage in the night. Again it comes out. It's like birth and rebirth, you know. Coming, going inside, coming outside. Going inside, coming outside. This is the thing, and 45 days like that. If someone is lucky, then the vegetable may be consumed early. Or if we say, today they put the capsicum for $1.99. What you do? You buy 2 kgs. And you use only one, actually. And then this will come for one more month. This is what is practically happening, isn't it? So these so-called leaders, what they're saying is, it's because of the global warming. And how the global warming is happening? Because of the greenhouse effect. How the greenhouse effect is happening? Because of the carbon dioxide and other pollutants coming from various equipments. Because you are using it and we are trying to fix it. Look, in the first place, you don't need that. Isn't it? Because the business, everyone is seeing how I can multiply money. So this is business chain. You know, cold storage, everything. Storage. It's not very healthy, actually. And look at how Kali Yuga is going to progress, you know, with this kind of, even it's just started, you know, Kali Yuga, 5,000 years. And Kali Yuga will last for 432,000 years. Imagine how it will be. People will be eating only virtual tomato and virtual, you know, from the computer they go, open the mouth, put the computer inside. That's what is going to happen. So this is the kind of the society we are living in, where the leaders are entrusting upon the children, so that, you know, they have a concept. Global warming. Why the temperature is happening? Global warming. Why this is happening? Global warming. Right? That is what is entrusted. And it will spread around, you know, like Harinam Sankirtan. And everyone will say global warming. Today is called global warming. This is what is happening. But actually, it's created by persons. We created it. So, there is always some problem, inherent. Inherent is there, in some form or other. Srimad Bhagavatam says that the problem that a human being or a grahasta, or basically, you know, anyone in this material world, they face is that, say, there is a problem, you know, which is there, you know, if I have to carry a bag of a load or something. Now, what happens is I carry it, after some time, it's too heavy for me. What do? I change it to this hand, and then again it's too heavy. What do? I put it on my shoulder, and this shoulder, then on my head. So, Srimad Bhagavatam says, our problems are like that. We keep shifting from the hand to the shoulder, from this shoulder to this shoulder onto the top. It keeps going. But, are we trying to eradicate the problem? Or are we trying to solve the problem? No. That's the question. We are not trying to solve the problem. Right? We are trying, we can see, analyze that. Because in my case, I can say, I was thinking, okay, India, what is there? What is my pay scale? You know, I'll be getting in rupees. Right? Rupees, if I work 8 hours, I get so many rupees. If I work in Australia, I'll get in dollars. So comparison, you know, like that. So it's better you come here and live there. Better comforts with that. But, so we are trying to eliminate. Okay, there is the traffic, is like this, is that, whatever, maybe X, Y, Z. You compare. You know, keep on comparing. So this is a better place. And that is a better place. But are we eradicating the problem? Birth, death, old age, disease. That's what Krishna is saying. That's a basic fundamental problem. Whether I go to USA or I live in China, it doesn't matter, Singapore, these are the problems. Whether you live in Sydney or Singapore, doesn't matter. Whether you are in Canberra or Coimbatore, doesn't matter. This is a problem. We have to face all these problems. You know, birth, death, old age, disease. So, what these persons are saying is that they are not going to solve the problems. But what is Krishna saying? Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita that the problems can be solved. All problems can be solved in life. No problems. Krishna says, no worries. He says, no, do not fear. That means no worries. But they are using it in Australia, no worries, no worries, without knowing. But Krishna has to say, do not fear, no worries. But all these people are saying without following Krishna. So, how when you follow Krishna, your worries will go? Krishna says that all of us as part of Him. We are all part of Krishna. So we have to surrender to Him. This is what Krishna wants. Okay? Regardless, He wants surrender. Because, why surrender? Because we are tiny. We think we are great. We are project leaders. Right? Group managers. CEO. Right? Gopal's treasurer. All these designations. Right? It's not going to help. So, Krishna, what he wants is surrender. Surrender means we are part of Krishna and you are tiny. You don't know what to do in this world. For example, how old are you? 5 years. Who is the parent of this child? Now, do you want to leave your child just like that, without taking care of him? Just go to the Melbourne, go to the city and come. No, isn't it? Why? No, love is there. The other thing is, he's not capable of doing. He cannot go to city on his own, can he? Because the world is such, he cannot, first of all, you know, he may go, the tram may, you know, whatever the X, Y, Z, you have to be very careful. Right? So children are always guided. In the same way, Krishna sees us as a tiny fragmental part. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhutasam. You are tiny. You are one among the millions of billions of souls. And you are tiny in nature. You are either controlled by the material energy or spiritual energy. This is your nature. We may be in illusion thinking, but the fact is that you are tiny. You are always controlled. This is why Krishna is controlling through the material energy or spiritual energy. But the problem is, if you use material energy, or if you associate with the material energy, you have to face these problems. Birth, death, old age, disease, adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi devi. 7 kinds of problems associated with the material world. That is a deal. But if you associate with spiritual energy or with Krishna consciousness, then all the problems are not there. Krishna is explaining that. This is what he is saying. That is why Krishna says, when we say surrender, we think why Krishna is using a big word. Why we want surrender? Because as a part of Krishna, you are part of him. One. And two, the body is wrapped with, the soul is wrapped with two bodies. Gross body and subtle body. Wrapped. And that is also Krishna's energy. So in what are you actually? You are part of Krishna. Your body is also energy from Krishna. You are basically zero. So therefore Krishna says, if you want to live properly in this world, you don't know, you're tiny. Like this child. You don't know. You have to learn. How do you learn? Follow my instructions. Follow my instructions. So surrender means, Krishna says, follow my instructions. And if you follow the instruction, what happens? Krishna gives protection. If this child follows the instruction of the mother protects the child, isn't it? If your child says, no, I will not listen to you, then who can help? So following the instruction, we are tiny. And therefore, we follow the instructions of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna protects us. And therefore, we don't have problems. You see? Is the connection? Surrender to Krishna. And Krishna gives protection in the form of his instruction. Then Krishna gives protection. When Krishna gives protection, no problem. And when there is no problem, there is no anxiety. And when there is no anxiety, you are always happy. See the connection? This material world is known as Kunta, anxiety. Vaikunta means no anxiety. So those who are with Krishna, those who follow Krishna's instruction, no anxiety for them. Not immediately. It takes a while, you know. Gradually. The problem is not that immediately it's eradicated. The nature of the material world is slowly, everything is happening slowly. Slowly the problems will be eradicated. So that's what Krishna is saying actually to us. So, if we listen to Krishna's instruction, or if we feel that surrender is too much, let us listen to what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. Then it is easier. Then we can be free from problems. So that is why the so-called leaders, they don't know to solve problems. Because they themselves don't know. The only person who can solve problems is Krishna. And by surrendering to his instruction, it's easily we can eliminate all the problems. So these persons, and as I said, greenhouse or whatever, maybe global warming, they're saying, so they are attributing some material problems, right? There's some material cause to this problem. But we know that this is all happening, it's given by the material energy in the form of Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi. This is Krishna is explaining. If you are in this world, you will be troubled by these three miseries. Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi. Adi Bhautik, what is that? Adi Bhautik means trouble caused by other living entities. Your boss may harass you. As a student, your friend will annoy you, irritate you. You may be walking on the road. Someone will stick a knife on you and they'll kill you. It is not your problem. A terrorist will put a bomb in your house. No, this is happening. It's not, you know, we are not discussing something in a mundane way. It's a fact of life, right? See, it is said that in the 21st century, the biggest problem where everyone is encountering fear is two main aspects. There are a lot of fears that added on, you know, every year they're adding. There's two more extra fears you have. What are the two more extra fears? One is the fear of terrorists. What if I go to a movie and underneath my movie if there is a bomb, what will you do? Gone. And then the second most, what they say is fear of rejection in a relationship. Because everyone else in Kali Yuga, the mind is disturbed. Right? You ask someone else a question, they are already thinking of something else. They give you a wrong answer, obviously. Because no one is fixed. No one is there. No one is peaceful. So you know, already there's something is going on in the mind. You, what is this? They will immediately get upset, or they give you a wrong answer. You get upset. So it goes on. The Kali Yuga, trouble caused by other living entities. How do you counteract? Krishna is also, see, Krishna's system is not telling, you know, leaving us high and dry. This is a problem, you suffer. I don't care. This is not Krishna, because a mother and the father will never do that. Will you ever do that to your child? If he listens, you'll say, okay, next time we'll listen, isn't it? This is exactly the mood of Krishna, like a parent. So what the Lord says is, please listen to me. We will say, no, Krishna, we will not listen. Okay, then this is a problem. I will hit you. How? I will not hit you through my material energy. This is also my energy. It is coming in three forms. Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi. Adi Bhautik, other living entities. How do you solve that? By charity, Krishna says. By charity, dana. Then troubles caused by other living entities will come down slowly. They have to follow. The whole universe should follow this. At least we will start, you know, charity. And again Krishna explains in the 17th chapter that there are four kinds of charity, you know. Charity in the mode of goodness, passion, transcendental. Charity in the mode of pure goodness. You know, that's another big topic. But charity, but devotees, right? We use everything Krishna service. We give it to Hare Krishna for the maintenance of the temple. That is the biggest transcendental charity. Or we eat in Gopals. That's also charity. You know, money is going. We get something in back, but still. And then, so by charity, then Adi Bhautik, then Adi Atmik, the trouble caused by our own body and mind. The mind is exactly opposite to you. You say that, I want to go there, the mind will say, come here, to this place. I want to chant 16 rounds. No, chant one round. This is how the mind is an enemy. Krishna says, slowly you have to make your mind as your friend. It is your enemy. By default, it is your enemy. It is your enemy. Anything you try with the mind, because the mind is not yours anyway. It is Lord's material energy. You are the soul. You have got nothing to do with your mind, you have nothing to do with the body. You are separate from that. But it is a very, very high phenomenon. At least theoretically we know that and work on it. You know, mind is a product given by the material energy. It is something given by, you buy in a store like that. Like that Krishna has given you mind. Use it in my service. If you don't use it in my service, it will, what it will do? It will give negative effects. It gets stuck on, it will not leave you any habits. So mind is a habit forming machine. So better you use in Krishna service, then habits are formed. So what is the antidote for Adi Atmik? Is sacrifice. You have to do sacrifice. You have to do yagya. You have to do yagya. Sorry, my apologies. What did I say? Tapa, tapa, austerity. So, for your, if you want to control your own mind and body, then you have to do austerity. Tapa, you have to do. So, dana, visi, tapa. And then, the demigods are inflicting problems like, you know, too much of weather. It's not global warming. It's actually caused by the demigods. You know, too much rain, an earthquake, tsunami, whatever it may be. This is all caused by the demigod. That is to be eradicated or counteracted by sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? Or yagya? In this world, or in this current dying age, the best sacrifice is Hari Nama Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the best sacrifice one can do. So if you do this, what is that? Dana, Tapa, Yagya. Then your problems will not immediately disappear. Slowly it will come down. Like an increment in the office. Your boss is not going to give you $80 per hour. He will give you 40 cents. I've given you 40 cents. Maybe $1, is it? And then slowly, you know, like that. This is how it is. This is material world. Okay, that's how it works. Okay. Then, why... And the other fact I was also thinking is because we are not taking Krishna's word seriously. Isn't it? Krishna is saying, come to my abode. You will not come to this material world again. Come to my abode. But we don't take Krishna's word seriously. Maybe because we don't have enough faith in Krishna. isn't it? That's a fact, right? If someone tells me something, just go to the supermarket, I don't listen. That means I don't believe them, I don't have faith in them. Right? Now, kids, when it comes to faith, I'm going to give you a small story. Right? Because you're all restless, eh? Okay, faith. A story about faith. But others also. Now, what happened? Once there was a guru and a disciple. Guru and disciple. The disciple, right? You know guru and disciple, isn't it? Prabhupada is a guru. We are all his servants or disciples in the sense. Now, once the disciple was suffering very badly. You know, he was vomiting, fever, flu. All will come. Don't worry, wait for one more month. You will have a winter flu. It's in store. It's already seeing. That's also a living entity. That's seeing whom I can attack. It's all calculated. They're a group. They're working on it. Because they've got the agenda, you know. They have got a target. July month, I want a Melbourne population is 6 million, approximately. So in the month of July, we attack 1 million in the suburb, in the eastern suburb. Then in the month of August, then 2 million in the western suburb. In that way, we will expand. That is their plan. Don't think they are not planning, okay? You are planning, they are also planning. You are planning a big way, they are planning in a small way. But their damage is very severe. So, this person, the disciple was suffering. So, he went to his guru and asked, Guru Maharaj, I'm suffering. Please help me. This person is very smart. He didn't go to a doctor. He had complete faith in the guru. Because guru knows. You know? Guru not only knows the body, he knows the soul also. But a current doctor knows only the body. He doesn't have no idea about the soul. So, what is he going to tell you? You know, he doesn't much. So, when he went to the guru, the guru looked at him, you know, observed him, and he said, okay, now you have to fast for 21 days. Do you do that? If I go to my Guru Maharaj and ask him, he says, fast for 21 days, what will he do? Melbourne, Prashadam. Please give me some other order. Now this person had short of faith. The guru is saying, because the guru observed, you know, the eyes and pulse and whatever may be, you know, not stethoscope. Okay, you fast for 21 days, it will be over. Now this guy had got complete faith in the guru. Okay, he said, okay. Now what has happened was, his friends, okay, other friends, they said, I will not believe. So they lost faith in the guru and they started talking, you know, a little bit bad about the guru. Oh, this guru is no good. What is this? He doesn't know to analyze. You know what? This guru is going to kill the disciple. And now let us watch. And then what happened? 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 21 days over. This person is, I know it is not easy, right? But the guru has said there is an inner meaning in that. So he tried to, you know, somehow, you know, take water. He said, take some water and things like that. But not food. Okay? So he became very weak. He went like this to the Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, please, 21 days is over. You tell me what I should do next. What did the Guru do? Anyone knows the story? That is this modern Kali Yuga guru. This is a guru who is interested in you. He will not kill you, you know. He wants to give some instruction so that you go to closer to Krishna and in the benefit, right? But this is a story, not for it. Just a gentle story. Then the guru said, okay, come. He said, he ordered his other disciples, please can you bring a jar of honey? Right? Now this person thought, oh, I am going to drink honey. Then the guru took the honey and kept near the nose of the person. Your nose. You have not eaten for 21 days. And you are getting a bottle of honey, nice pure honey. And it's kept near the nose. What happened? Suddenly, two or three worms from his body came through the one whole nose, this side, and from the mouth, three worms came out. And the guru kept the honey like this and then threw it out. And they went in. So three worms are living in his body. That is eating all the food. He is not getting any nourishment. So how can he know? Externally he looks, he's okay. But all the food is consumed by the worms. And it became like a big snake. So it went away. Then the guru said, now you go and go to the Mahaprabhu Mandir and today there's a feast. Sunday feast, go and enjoy. Then he was very happy. Now the guru was protected. Now if you don't know this, what will happen? The doctor will say, eat, no restriction, you go to any doctor. Sometimes I'll go to, when I'm fever, right? I'll say, no, don't worry, eat, doctor, any restriction? No, no, anything. What is a doctor? We know doctor means medicine and restriction. Here, anything. Doctor, this rice and... No, take anything, whatever you feel like. See, this is the type. But a guru, a real bona fide guru, he knows, he protects not only your soul, but also body. Right? So, we should have faith in guru. Vaishnavas. They are well-wishing. Anything they say, it may look apparently that why are they giving me the instruction? Why are you telling me chant Krishna's name? Why do you don't tell me to go to the movie? I've got a lot of money. Listen, we know you've got money. Give some donation and listen. Future it'll be happy. And Krishna says, this is the story, faith. But Krishna says, why people are not coming to him? Why people are not coming to him? Krishna explains in the 14th chapter, because there is three mentality, this existing in the material world, Arjuna. This mentality is creating them not to come to me. What are the mentalities? There are people in the mode of goodness. Not everyone looks like same. See, everyone is a man is one category, women category. Everyone looks same. But they're not. They're based on the mentality, their condition, what they think, you know. So, Krishna says, yes, they will not come back because there are three mentalities in this world. One is in the mode of goodness. People in the mode of goodness, their aim or their idea or their propensity is to develop the soul. They are not interested in body. You know, their achievement is development of the soul. And once you know you are the soul, naturally you have to connect to Krishna. And again, in that soul, there are two types. I'm not deviating, but this will help you out. One is a personal aspect, other is impersonal aspect. Personal aspect means they know I'm a person, I'm part of Krishna, so I'll surrender to Krishna. The impersonal aspect, you know, they will not believe. They think this body is a problem. After death, if I get one more body, spiritual body, again problem. So I will not surrender. I want to be impersonal. I want to go and merge, you know, into the light or something, and I'll be happy. The concept of body fears them. That is impersonal aspect. But our policies or our teachings is that, yes, Krishna is a supreme authority, is a person, because I will come from Krishna, I'm also a person. So I will offer obeisances and I'll offer service to Krishna and I'll surrender to Krishna. But the other person don't have faith. Then, second category, mode of passion, is material attachment. Too much material things. And hence, they will not come to Krishna. Because if you are too much attached to material things, means you want sense gratification. Sense gratification means you think that you are God. When you are God, you will never listen to God. Isn't it? So the mode of passion is like that. And the mode of ignorance is a hopeless category. Where complete sense gratification, no ethics, no anything. Absolutely irreligious. Mode of goodness, religion. They follow scriptures. And therefore, they know that we are soul and they direct towards Krishna. Mode of passion, semi-religious. Something I know Krishna is God, but I want my material things. It's okay. You know, semi-religious. Mode of ignorance, irreligious. Don't care about things. Do whatever you feel like. Suffer later. So it's very important that we follow scriptures, the mode of goodness. And scriptures means what? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all the books written by Acharyas. They're all scriptures. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So the three mentalities stop. So what is Krishna saying? If you want, right, to have all the problems stopped, then you have to be beyond the three mentalities. What is the mentality? The three mentality, you have to cross that. And you should come to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means the mentality is only to serve Krishna. By serving Krishna, everything else is satisfied. By watering the root of the tree, the root, the branches, the twigs, everything is satisfied. So if you satisfy Krishna, the whole world is satisfied. And a devotee will be the best husband, best father, best child, best worker in the company. He's the best. Because he is following everything correctly, according to the instruction of Krishna. A devotee is not something like, you know, devotee is in the temple and, you know, he's no. He's the best. He's best in everything. He's the best husband. He knows the responsibility of his side. It's not that, you know, he makes sure that the family is alright. He takes care of the children better way. A devotee of Krishna is the best in all ways. Best husband, best father, best brother, best sister. Everything best. Because he acts according to the direction of Krishna. And when you act according to the direction of Krishna, it has to be proper. Because we are not dealing with ordinary person. He is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He looks to be ordinary. You know his position? Unlimitedly powerful Krishna. Completely transcendental. He is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. No one can imagine his power, strength. Unlimitedly powerful Krishna. This Lord we are talking about, completely beyond the three modes. Anything with Krishna is transcendental. You chant his name, you talk about him, you eat his prasadam, you discuss things with his devotees, you come to his temple. Everything is completely transcendental. There is no material thing whatsoever in Krishna's dealings. Even his devotees, if you deal, that is also transcendental. This is how powerful Krishna's energy are. Because all the energies are coming from him. Energies, he is not created, his energies are created by him, it's coming from him. The Lord's spiritual energy, superior energy of the Lord is coming from him. The Lord's inferior energy, material energy is also coming from him. We as a marginal energy, we are also part of Krishna, we are also coming from him. But we have a choice to choose Krishna or Maya. If you choose Krishna, everything will be okay. So, the question for us should be, are we going to be Krishna conscious or not? That is what you have to do. Once you are Krishna conscious, everything will fall in place. That is a decision one has to make. You do not have to be every second, you know, thinking about it. I am going to be a devotee of Krishna. Then you see, everything will work out. To be Krishna conscious or not, that is your choice, which Krishna is waiting for you. Huh? Once you become Krishna conscious, everything will fall in place. You will be okay. It's a matter of time. But if I don't want to be Krishna conscious, I don't want to be a devotee, then it's absolutely, you are under the hands of Maya, which will give you seven kinds of suffering, regardless. How powerful you are materially doesn't care. Whether you are a Prime Minister of Australia or President of US, doesn't matter. He has to go through the seven kinds of suffering. This is Krishna's law. He is a Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is established like that. So it's better for us as a tiny, infinite, insignificant soul. Listen to what his instructions are. And he's so sweet also. As a parent, you know, he's guiding us nicely through the great acharyas. Like Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. Right? Guiding us like a teacher. And then, okay, this is this aspect. Then quickly we'll move over. Another story on this one. We will come back to that. There's another story there. Fortune or misfortune. We will talk that later. Now quickly I want to talk about another point, right? So today we talked about, today I wanted to talk about two points. One is the miseries. So these are the miseries we talked about, you know, and how to solve the miseries. By dana, tapa and yajna. Right? Now, that is the miseries part of it. The second part is temporary nature for the material world. Isn't it? That's what we talked about. The miseries we don't know we are suffering. We discussed a little bit. And then temporary nature. We don't know that the material world is temporary nature. So we discussed a few points just to make sure that, you know, we understand it better. Now what happens is, when the condition, when the soul comes into the material world, the soul is given two wraps, two bodies. The bodies are given, both the bodies, that is, one is a gross body and subtle body. Now the soul is wrapped, you know, with the two bodies, and this body is given to the material, in the material energy, it is given by the Lord's material energy. Now what happens is, the Lord's material energy is known as the knowledge covering potency of the Lord. It covers the knowledge. The soul is covered. So one thinks that I am the body. When my soul is covered with the two bodies, not one body, gross body and subtle body. So I think that I am the body. When I think I am the body, what is wrong in seeing a movie? What is wrong in talking to someone? What is wrong in listening to a Bollywood song? Anything wrong? What is wrong in going to a restaurant and eating? Because I am the body, I don't have knowledge. And how Krishna implements this is through a mechanism. Beautiful mechanism. What he has done is, with the gross body, right? Krishna has given 10 senses. Knowledge acquiring senses and working senses. With the knowledge occurring senses, a person goes and picks up the knowledge through the eyes, nose, tongue. What does he see through the eyes? He sees a form and is captivated by the form. This is my husband. This is my wife. This is my child. Whatever. See the form. So eyes is trapped to the form. Through the nose, smell. That is all it is, material world. Through the ear is a sound. Through the tongue, taste, and through the skin, touching sensation. That's all the material world. If one knows this five principle, what will one do? One naturally sees Krishna because his form is spiritual, and then his attraction for other things goes away. One hears Hare Krishna mantra, attraction goes away. One takes Krishna prasadam, attraction goes away. One touches the Lord. One does deity worship, then you need not have to touch others. And then everything falls in place, right? And then Krishna has given the working senses. What are the working senses? Two hands, two legs, tongue, anus, genital. The moment you act on the working senses, sin is counted. Kali Yuga. The moment I hit my hand, the moment I hit someone, I'll get a sin. The moment I use my hand, sin. The moment I use my legs, sin. The moment I use my genital, sin. The moment I use my anus, skin. The moment I use my tongue, sin. With the tongue, we keep on, you know, finding fault with people. Sin, sin. As long as you don't use the knowledge of the working senses. So what a devotee does, working senses around Krishna's service, then he's free from the mental energy. Otherwise, the mental energy traps you. It binds you like a glue, and it'll never leave you. It's like a dream constantly, you know, because you are in touch with the material energy mind. The mind sticks you and constantly keeps on making you think that again and again, again and again. Same thing, I want. Then you go into the mode of ignorance. That's how it binds you. So Krishna says, this is an insurmountable grip, material energy. Not only that, not only grip, what it does is, it puts you into more and more illusion. This is one of the very salient features of material world. More and more illusion it puts. That's how. So how does it put into more and more illusion? Okay. One more phenomena we'll discuss. Who is a batsman here? Any batsman? Tendulkar? Do you play? How often do you play? You are the batsman too. Okay. You play cricket?
Yes.
Batsman or bowler?
I do both all-rounder.
All-rounder. Very good. How about you? Okay. So you know, so all you have got some knowledge, transcendental knowledge about cricket, correct? Then we can discuss. Now, say for example, I say, anyone likes Tendulkar? Yeah? You like Tendulkar? Good. You like Krishna and Tendulkar, isn't it? Both you like. No. But Tendulkar more than Krishna. Krishna, okay, Tendulkar is there, say, he is very frank, okay. He likes Krishna, he likes Tendulkar also, but Krishna more than Tendulkar. Okay, that's okay. We understand. Now, say for example, do you like Tendulkar's bat? He hits it, goes a century, you know? You like it, no? You don't like it? You like? No, anyone like? His bat is very powerful. Not seen. Very, the bat goes for, you know, like whatever may be high prices, you know. Bat. Now, say for example, if I say, I like Tendulkar's bat. Just a statement I make. You know what is the layer of illusion I am in? Anyone can guess? What's the layer of... I'm just saying, I like Tendulkar's bat. Which means really I like it, isn't it? What is the kind of illusion we are in? You know, four layers. Okay, first, we according to Krishna and according to a Krishna conscious realized person, he's a soul, right? He doesn't act on the body, mostly given a scenario. So we are the spirit soul, okay? Or theoretically we can say, even if Krishna, you know, if we don't act on the soul platform, theoretically we are soul. Now, the first layer is we think that we are the body. And what happens when we are the body? We identify with parents, brother, sister. Identify, I'm not saying it's wrong. We are identifying. So that's the first layer. Then what happens? Because I've got a family, because I've got a parent, I was born in India. So I'm attached to my country. This is second layer. Third layer, because of India, I'm attached, all are very good batsmen, I'm attached to the Indian cricket team. This is at the national level. So, third layer, illusion. Fourth layer is, I'm attached to a person who is a player in the national games, or in the national sports of India, and I'm attached to his bat. This is even, it could say, five layer also. You understand? First is identifying with the body. Identifying, because I've got a body, I've got a nation. Because I've got a nation, I've got a nation sport. Because I've got a nation sport, I know a nation's very good player. And the player has got a bat. Where is Krishna saying, you know, about Bhagavad Gita? And where are we now, in the current age? Just a simple statement I made. You know, that means I'm thinking I made a statement. It is in my heart. You understand what I mean? This is what Krishna is saying. So the Maya is very, very popular. What I'm saying is illusion after illusion after illusion. First is a body, then your family, then everything. Your house, not one house, two house, your Indian house, then Sri Lankan house. And then soon you will say, who is Krishna? What is the point in coming to temple? Krishna says, no, you should never forget me because I'm your parent. Wherever, you know, we are there, right? Wherever there, Krishna, Krishna, one and two, you should never be fighting. Krishna should not fight. They'll fight only with the demons. And then one and two should not fight at all. Right? Isn't it? Now, where are we now? Where is the illusion layer, you know? Maya is into and into and into. Then slowly, you know, it pulls us into, you know, because the mind is a lot's illusory energy. Right? We think it's our mind, no? I am thinking. Right? What is your mind? The mind is a product of the lot's illusory energy. And mind is always imaginary. It always imagines. There is pleasure there. There is nothing there. This, because as I said, no, Krishna's material energy works through a mechanism. The first mechanism I said is that how we gave the gross body and subtle body. The second mechanism is Krishna, through this gross body and subtle body, the Maya achieves something. Very quickly it discussed that. What it achieves is, first is a false layer, the false ego. The false ego says that you are the body, you are the person, you are the man, you are the woman. Now we should go and enjoy. Okay? And then the mentality comes, enjoy mentality. Then what happens? The mind has got sankalpa vikalpa. I will like this, I don't like this. I like Tendulkar, I don't like someone else. Kapil Dev. Like that. Right? Based on that, your material intelligence will work. Okay, I like Tendulkar, so I'll call Tendulkar and speak to him. I don't like Kapil Dev, I don't even see his sports. The intelligence works on that. Supply. And then what does Maya does? Material energy of the Lord? Hope. It gives hope. Yes, you should go to the sports. You should try that. Then you try the Victorian sports. Then you go to the national level. Then, you know, international level. See, it brings you hope. Try this, try this, try this. That is always Maya does it, because that's a lot of mental energy. Now, if one does not want, one has to change one's direction. Unless you are the mental energy, unless you change, if you are in the mental energy, it always gives you illusion and hope. Because it's a lot of energy, it is created for something. It always gives you hope. Try this. Did you try that? No, try this one. People I know who are drinking coffee addiction, no? They try this coffee, American coffee, Mexican coffee, same coffee. You know, just one tongue is there. They don't have millions of tongues, right? One tongue and one coffee, the mind, you know, they will say put a Mexican coffee, same coffee. And they try and try and try, and the senses are made up of mode of passion. No matter however you give, you will never be satisfied. That's what Krishna has created. He has created the sense in the mode of passion, the body in the mode of ignorance, and the mind in the mode of goodness. So senses, however much you give, it will always say more and more and more and never be happy. I want American coffee, Singapore coffee, Malaysian coffee. Where is the end? With one tongue. Same thing again and again. So it is. Okay. There is one story which I thought I'll tell you. If you're tired, we'll stop here. One story. Okay, very quick story. Fortune or misfortune? That's a story. Okay. What is fortune? What is misfortune? Once a person was going from Victoria to Tasmania for a holiday with his family. Okay? In the Spirit of Tasmania ship is going. How many of you went there? Use that Spirit of Tasmania? Good. It's a good ride, isn't it? They've been telling, but I'm thinking. We'll see one day. So as they were going, what has happened was the ship got wrecked, damaged. And then this family, this person's family was separated. The last thing one wants. And then he ended up going into a no man's island. There's no one living there. He went there. Then he thought, what a misfortune I had. First of all, I should have not have come to Tasmania using the ship. I know all my family separated. You know, we don't know where they are. So what a misfortune. But because he went into the island, you know, there he could not see any dangerous animals and all that. He said, thank God. There's no animals and no, you know, severe punishment for me. Anything, you know, no other persons or nomads or whatever may be, you know, people come and eat me or bite me. That's not there. So I'm safe. So he's saying, okay, good. I had a misfortune. I have a fortune also. Because this is only place for me. No one is living in the island. Okay, I can live. When we are alone, we are very happy. Free from problems. Because in Kali Yuga, when two people come together, there will be a problem. We all experience at home. When, as long as a person is okay, that's okay. When two people come together, when three people are there in a room, finish. There will be Mahabharat. It will be like that. So this person said, okay, no man's island, I'm alone, I will manage, doesn't matter. At least I'll be free from my wife for some time. Yes. Then he saw, what is the food I can eat? Okay, no worries, I can make some, I can go and pluck some fruits and all that. Very nice, at least Krishna has given me, sent me an island where there are nice fruits, I'll eat that. He was eating, and then he said, yes, I should have a shelter. Okay? And he happened to be a builder. So he said, okay, I will cut the logs and whatever maybe. He had some one or two things which he has carried with him. I will make slowly and make a hut like that. So he built a hut also. A nice comfortable hut. And he was living there. One or two weeks, you know. Then what happened one day on a hot day when he went deep into the forest to get something else? What happened? Guess what? There was a forest fire and his house burned with big flames like that, going high in the air. Big high, you know, lot of flames going up in the air. And this person thought, listen, what's going on? First of all, I separated and I'm alone. And on top of that, I built something with hard work and that house is also gone. What is this? So misfortune. What a misfortune. Fortune, misfortune. Fortune, misfortune. This keep on happening to me. How can I solve my problems, you know? And then what happened? After a couple of hours, there was a boat coming in, steamer coming in. He was delighted because initially when he tried to save himself, you know, no one could help him out because he's in a no man island. And then when this fire flew and it goes up in the air, someone else have noticed in the neighboring island and they have sent one boat for him to take him back. And then he did not even realize, he was just feeling, you know, very sad, oh, my house has gone. Then they said, came and they said, listen, there was a fire we saw and immediately we detected that there is someone else living here. So we are security men, we have come to save you. Now we can go back to your family. Your family is over there. Then he took the boat and went back. See, sometimes we think that it's a misfortune, but it is a fortune. If he has thought that, oh Krishna, I want my house, it should not be burned, then permanently he'll be in the island. But because there is a small calamity, it burned. And then because of the burning, the boat came and he rescued. And now he joined back his family. You understand? So, there may be few calamities in our life. We should not be discontented. It is for our benefit, you know. We have to see a bigger picture. Bigger picture. And then we'll be fine. Okay. We'll stop here. Any quick questions, comments? Yes. Krishna. Gopal, you have got something? Okay. Any questions, comments, corrections?
You said that each body has some sort of material energy existent in that body. Is there a balance between spiritual energy and material energy, or is there's a bit more of material energy, less spiritual energy, or is there no spiritual energy in our body?
The material energy and the spiritual energy, they are all coming from Krishna, but they are different energies. It's like oil and water. Can you mix oil and water? No, it's separate. It's not that Krishna's spiritual energy is 90% spiritual, 10% material. Krishna's material energy is 90% material, 10% spiritual. No, completely different. This is one is going, a train is going from city to Dandenong. Other train is going from Dandenong to city. Both different directions. Material energy always takes you for enjoyment under the three modes and it will trap you so that you get more and more bodies. Spiritual energy will stop your body and get back to Krishna. Understand? So there is no mixing of that. How it is mixed is by Krishna's unique technique of false ego. The false ego tells you that yes, I am the body, I will enjoy. The moment you enjoy, the mind puts all the rubbish into, all the rubbish is put into the mind and you think that you continue the life. Because you have already put, a person is responsible for his own action. That is why his knowledge occurring senses and working senses are given to him. Through my eyes or through my hands, whatever I do, that is put into my mind. And I will do based on that. First I do one reaction, I eat someone, and then tomorrow I'll eat someone else more, and then I'll become a habit, then I'll become a, you know, a terrorist or something. Because the mind keeps on contemplating. What you put in is the first thing. And then based on that, the mind contemplates. Because it's an imaginary thing, mind. If you put Krishna, then that's the best thing. Then the mind contemplates. Anything other than Krishna. So Krishna recommends that you should not put sense object. Sense object means no form, no taste, only Krishna's. No sense object. According to Krishna, we should not put any sense object into the mind. Because the mind is a container. And this container, we are having from time immemorial. Previous birth we had this container. This birth. And the mind is the one which produces next body. This body I got because in the previous birth I had put something. I had this manly behavior. So I've got this body. So what is in your mind produces another body. So the mind has to be pure at the time of death. Then you will not have any more bodies. So if you act on the body, one more body. If you act on the soul, no more bodies. That is Krishna's technique. How can you act on the soul? The only way is by becoming a devotee of Krishna. Is it okay? So both are different energies, okay? You can't mix up. But it's all coming from Krishna. But those who are averse, Those who don't want to serve Krishna, those who are averse to serving the lotus feet of Krishna, material energy traps them. And once material energy traps them, insurmountable grip, Krishna says. Understand? So if you have an intention not to serve Krishna, then the material energy traps you and it gives you money, movies, and all. You go deeper and deeper illusion and you suffer. Because it will produce more bodies. So people are intelligent. You know, they don't put a sense object and they move towards Krishna, which means no more bodies. Okay, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaura Premanand.